This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Great, Phineas replied. So what's my motivation in this scene?
You're horny.
How about mine?
I really want to stay mad at this, but I can't. I can't stay mad at it, man.
How about mine, piped Isabella.
You're horny too.
Baljeet spoke up. And shall the rest of us assume?
Consider yourself the rest of them.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of those unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
I'm not saying it's a bad selfie, but...
It's not a selfie. It's a picture of one of my figures.
Wait, are we talking like about selfies like pictures of yourself or selfie like that one character from that one Final Fantasy?
We're talking about Dave's profile picture and how it's a good selfie of him.
It is a very good selfie. In fact, my gigantic quadruple cube boobs in that picture are just the best.
So wait, if Dave is selfie, does that mean he fucked Minotaur and Sacred?
Is this Friday Night Fan Fiction?
Note to self, quadruple cube boobs.
That's fucking wonderful. Tonight we'll be listening to me gobbling on many, many yards of cock.
Oh, dude, talking about fucking cock, dude, man. I got me some goddamn peanut butter M&Ms. Them shits is legit.
How does that... What? I value our marriage.
Oh, really?
What's that? What's that?
That makes
what's
one that of us.
Good? What? Divine Interventions?
No, we don't want that one. That one's bad. I mean, like,
for the actual... Bad Dragon?
No, for the actual show that we're doing right now.
You mean like the one that I post on Twitter and Facebook every single time we do the show? Why don't you ever VGM.NightHouseMedia.com. Remember, not remember.
Once again, that's VGM.NightHouseMedia.com.
Yes, that's the thing. And tonight we're going to be reading some Phineas and Ferb.
So before you go to that that new location, remember, this podcast is rated M for Mature. But considering the material that we're reading, that probably doesn't matter. Probably.
I thought it was rated M for Moses or M for
Monza. No, actually, this is rated F because it's a Phineas and Ferb sex comedy.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
The only one of its kind.
Do we actually have to read this?
No, it's one of 10.
What? One of 10?
Not in a series. No, it's just this author writes comedic Phineas and Ferb fanfics and has written 10 of them.
Tonight we're joined by Spencer and Steve, and halfway through the show we're going to switch to Splee and No Namer. All right, Spencer, you can go ahead and start.
Oh, right. I actually like The Road to El Dorado. It's a freaking good movie.
Haven't seen it. I've got it in my movies folder that I keep on meaning to watch
El Dorado, El Dorado, get the song out my head.
Rated F, a Phineas and Ferb sex comedy.
Phineas. I'm going to punch you already.
I like it. Phineas. It's fun.
And Ferb sex comedy. MFFF Young. No. This story was written to be funny and true to the characters, and yet wildly pornographic.
Wildly!
You be the judge. No, numero dos. This story depicts the title characters and their same-age friends engaging in graphic sexual activity. If that bugs you, time to stop reading. Guys, I need to leave.
All right, thanks for listening to Friday Night Fan.
Bye, guys. It's been a great episode.
What if it makes you smirk,
what did I miss?
If it makes you stiff and or damp in places, Steve-O, they're talking to you, then you are welcome to read on. ... That, Phineas said to Ferb, wasn't like anything I've seen before. Their parents had gone off to work an antique show for the day. Oh. And Phineas and Ferb had been left at home under Candace's supervision. It wasn't terribly close supervision. Candace had been in her room chatting on the phone with Stacy since the end of breakfast, so the boys had decided on their own to clean out the garage. This would make for a nice surprise for their parents, and, with any luck, provide some inspiration for their project for the day. That was how they found the old VHS tape at the very bottom of a long, unopened box. Their dad kept an VCR connected to the television to watch his old black and white monster movies and Pinhead Pierre videos. So the boys had popped the tape in and watched, mesmerized, for the next 80 minutes. You know, Phineas said later, when I saw that the title was Hard Bangers 3, I kind of thought it would be about a trio of percussionists, or maybe carpenters. Well, Ferb replied, there was that one man in the hard hat. Yeah, Phineas
hard
replied.
Hard Bangers 3 Carpenters.
Interesting costume choices all around. I'd like to think we could do better. Hey, now I know what we're gonna do today. Let's make an old style porn movie. Ferb blinked, then put on a hard hat.
Oh god.
Asterisk times 3.
I'm gonna go next. They were working in the backyard, Phineas building a movie set, Ferb composing on his synthesizer, when Isabella came through the back gate. Haha, I see.
Giggity.
Yeah.
Hey, Phineas,
she said in her usual lilting fashion.
Yep, lilting.
My flower petals are wilting.
What you doing?
That was almost the Swedish Chef. We're making an old-fashioned skin flick.
Phineas, where did you learn these
Phineas
words?
Phineas replied, you want to be in it? Well, said Isabella, I would like to get my virginity patch. What?
Yeah, she's a Girl
Scout. It's a Girl Scout reward. They give it out to virgins.
Wait, what? There's a Girl Scout virgin patch? What?
Yep.
Wow. I've never seen the show. All I know is that Zircon composed for the game. That's the only thing I know about, and that there's a platypus somewhere. That's all I know. Okay.
Yeah, the platypus will appeal later.
Appeal, yes. The platypus will appeal later.
Plea, plea, plea.
Oh, that's okay, Phineas interrupted. I'm sure we can find plenty of other girls to be in the movie. No, what I mean is, hey, you could be our casting director. How about you round up some talent while Ferb and I finish up here? Ferb's writing a killer soundtrack. Ferb pressed the key on his synthesizer, producing a jazzy bounce chicka wow. Wow! So it's a dubstep skin flick. Fine, Isabella said huffily. I guess I don't need to add any more patches to my secret sash right now. Your secret...
Wait, what?
Your secret Whoa. What?
Just keep reading.
Said Phineas, suddenly curious. Isabella put her thumb over a glassy-looking button at the bottom of her sash. Phineas had always assumed that it was just there to hold the ends of the sash together. Identity confirmed, said the button in a tinny monotone. Garcia Shapiro, Isabella, access granted.
Honey, is there such thing as a titty monotone?
Tinny.
Tinny. T-I-N-N-Y.
Oh, never mind.
As in tinny sounding monotone. Tinny, as in all treble,
not
no
a titty
bass. So.
I like titty monotone better.
Yeah, titty monotone, episode title.
No, G-G-G-N-A. No, that's not an episode title. That's, David, that's your stage name. When you strip, you're titty monotone.
Ladies and gentlemen, at center stage, give it up for titty monotone.
And then you go on stage and it's just Danger Zone.
Pump up the jam. No, it's got to be Pump up the jam. If I'm gonna be titty monotone, I'm gonna have Pump Up the Jam playing when I come out on stage.
I hate that song. I'm gonna
keep going.
Pump
up the danger zone.
Pump up the danger zone.
The button turned sideways and slid through a previously invisible buttonhole. I almost read that as butthole. This allowed Isabella to open the sash lengthwise to reveal a hidden matte black lining. Light seemed to fall into it. This is my secret sash, Isabella explained. It's for patches that Fireside Girls don't necessarily want to show to the general public. It's also radar absorbent.
Why is a sash radar absorbent anyway?
I don't know.
Because I don't know.
They
I don't know how
drug
we spend,
mules.
I honestly don't know or care how we spend our defense funding at this point. Cool!
I do,
said Phineas, impressed. He pointed.
Because if we have radar absorbent clothing, why aren't we giving them to our boys downrange?
He pointed to a cluster of three circles that stood out from the black fabric. What are these three patches for? Oh, I'm dying to know. The pair of black binoculars is surveillance. I like your new bedroom rug, by the way. The frog holding a firecracker is underwater demolitions. What? And the laptop in a plain brown wrapper is posting erotic fiction on the internet under a pseudonym.
I have
wow.
I think we all have that patch at this point. Neat, Phineas said. Well, I guess I'd better get back to work. These sets aren't going to build themselves. Hey, sets that build themselves. Let's remember that one for another day. He turned back to Isabella and handed her a sheaf of paper. Here's a copy of the script. See you in a while.
Why didn't she hand him an old WWF wrestler?
Because she can.
Isabella headed off, musing to herself. I should find out if there's a Help Thy Neighbor Make a Smut Film patch. Ha 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 ha.
No, but there's a topical cream.
Okay, next one, I actually undercut this, so Val, you get to read one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Half an hour later, Isabella returned with several kids in tow. Baljeet, Buffert, and Isabella's entire Fireside Girl troop. Standing before them, in the middle of the backyard, was a small two-story pink house with three triangular symbols over the door. Good work, Isabella, Phineas said, looking at the crowd of actors she had recruited. Thanks, the girl said, but she crept closer to Phineas and whispered, I'm not sure anyone here has ever actually had sex before. Is that going to be a problem?
Nope.
Nah, the boy replied. From what we've seen, sex isn't that complicated. It's pretty much just the same movement over and over in different positions.
Indeed.
You pee in her butt.
Let's go to our sex correspondents. Steve O'Val, is sex just the same movements over and over in different positions?
This sounds like they did research on sex and started with him going like, I wonder what sex is like. Well, from what we've seen.
That's also assuming Val and I have had sex.
Oh, no.
There's the bedding ceremony at the wedding, right?
This is not Game of Thrones.
No, that was Steve-O with his beard. I was not part of it.
Oh, I had to misread it. It's a bearding ceremony.
Yeah. Okay, Val, keep reading.
Overhearing this conversation, Baljeet said, nonetheless, I must admit having some reservations about this. Baljeet, said Buffert, if you don't do this, you'll regret it every day for the rest of your life. Really? Baljeet said, do you think it will be that great an experience?
Indeed.
No, I mean, I'm gonna beat on you every day for the rest of your life. Oh, I see. Very well. I am in. Phineas turned towards a small crowd and pointed into the pink house. Welcome to the Delta 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 Sorority House. This will be one of our main sets.
We call ourselves the Delta Knights.
We're all about preserving law and order in the world. A Delta Knight is more than what you would think here, young T.
Sorry, David Warner,
and introducing David Hubbard.
Even horny. Why Delta Delta Delta? Isabella asked. Fur put it in the script. I think it's a reference to bra size.
Next up is Roy.
They know bra size at that age?
Ah, Isabella said with a hint of irritation as she glanced down at her flat chest. So we're going for irony, then. Just then, a delivery man arrived with a large packet, no, it's a large box. They hadn't started filming yet. I'm looking for a Phineas Flynn, he said awkwardly. That's me, said Phineas. Okay, the delivery man said slowly, eyeing the small boy. Well, I've got one classic porno package here, two vibrators, one double dildo, a set of anal beads, an 8x12 shag carpet, and 3 pounds of gold medallions.
Ah, that's my order.
Wow. Perfect, I didn't know Phineas. They had those kind. Like, does the music come with it, or is it part of a deluxe?
No, Ferb's making the soundtrack. Phineas. Get with it.
Hey, said the delivery man, glancing around as Phineas signed for the package. Aren't you kids a little... No, scratch that. Aren't you kids way too young to be making an adult film?
Yes,
we are, Phineas said agreeably. But it's not actually an adult film. There are no adults in it. Well, I mean, the delivery man then says, huh, I guess I can't argue with logic like that. After the delivery man left, Phineas addressed the group. Thanks for coming out today, everybody. Yeah, said Buford. I'll help you make your little sex movie, but I got one condition. No cheesy double entendres. I hate cheesy double entendres.
So we got to start this whole fic back over now.
Welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction, the late night TV show starring radio people.
We're the only things being broadcast over that restricted bandwidth anymore.
It's never been the same since Letterman went off the air. Fair enough, said Phineas. Now, this movie is intended to capture all the important elements of VHS-era porno movies. Except for the mustaches, Fredericks of Hollywood bras, and money shots, of course, since we're all still waiting on puberty. That's no reason not to make some movie magic, so let's get rolling. Isabella, who are you going to cast for the first scene? Ferb, do you want to play delivery boy number one? Said Isabella. Ferb gave her a thumbs up and made a sexy meow sound.
You know, this fic would benefit a lot from a studio laugh track.
Note to self, soundboard app. Isabella turned to the fireside girls. Then I need two girls to be in the scene with him. I'll do it, called the short, bespectacled Gretchen.
Next up is Steve.
Sure, okay.
Oh, God, no.
Adjusting her puffy black pigtails. Minutes later, Buford was standing in the middle of the living room portion of the Tri-Delta house with a set with a clapperboard.
The Deltas do Danville, scene one, take one. He said, then clapped the board quite a bit harder than was necessary. He left the set and walked over to where Phineas sat in his director's chair.
Action!
Phineas called, then pointing to Buford. And when I say action, I really mean, don't you finish that sentence, Pointy! Buford growled.
Oh, right, the double entendre thing. Sorry.
On the set, Holly and Gretchen descended the stairs into the living room, which Phineas and Ferb had appointed with two couches, a couple of side tables, and even a chandelier. Holly was dressed in a short red satin nightie that barely reached her thighs, and Gretchen was sporting a see-through baby blue negligee and matching bikini panties that nicely showed off her cute little bottom. Both girls.
And black fishnets and black
eyeliner. Black toothpaste.
Black, and my chemical romance. Both girls wobbled a bit in their high-heeled shoes. Belgique, who was operating the camera, whispered to Phineas,
why would they be wearing such impractical shoes with what is basically sleepwear?
Tradition, Phineas said. Nobody goes barefoot in a porno movie, although I'm not exactly sure why.
Because the floors are always nasty, said Buford.
How do you know that?
Phineas asked. Are you kidding? My mom's been like in a dozen of those things.
In
like a dozen of these things. Meanwhile, in front of the camera, the girls were delivering their lines.
The pizza should be here any minute,
said Holly.
Good, I'm hungry,
Gretchen responded.
In more ways than one,
oh, no.
She added saucily.
No.
Oh, yes. Next, dash, dash, dash.
Gonna be David.
Dash, dash, dash. Dash, dash, dash.
David.
Dash.
Come on.
Dash, dash, dash.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
The doorbell rang. The girls opened the front door to reveal.
Louder!
The doorbell rang! And the girls opened the front door to reveal Fur!
Perfect.
Wow.
He was dressed in a red, white, and...
You are actually quite quiet.
Uniform and had the red JoJo's pizza. He handed Holly a pizza box and she handed him a few beers.
Oh, gee,
Holly said with mock sadness.
I don't have enough money for a tip.
Uh-oh.
Rawr, said Gretchen, putting a finger under Ferb's chin.
I suppose we'll have to find some other way to tip you.
Jesus.
Ferb's eyes widened.
Man, that kid can't act.
Oh fuck! That's just what it says. Hold on. I know. I'm getting. Ooh, that's tough. No, yay.
Man, that kid can act.
Oh wait, he whispered that.
Man, that kid can act.
Whispered Buford.
Holly put the pizza box on the coffee table while Gretchen shut the door behind Ferb and pulled off her see-through negligee.
Yeah.
Is that how you say that? Is that how you spell that word?
Negligee.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the correct spelling.
Off her see-through negligee.
It's pronounced negligee.
I'm aware of how it's pronounced, motherfucker. Fully revealing her pink, her little pink nipples and oval belly button. She grabbed Ferb and pulled him in for a long open-mouth porno kiss. While they were at it, Holly pulled the thin straps of her red satin nighty down over her shoulders, causing the garment to drop to the floor and expose her cute, slim body. Holly seemed to be aware that Gretchen had a little crush on Ferb because she let the smaller girl take the lead. While Holly helped Ferb pull his shirt off. Gretchen
I think there's a space there, actually. Is there a space there? I can't tell. There is a space there. Okay, so Gretzky Hen yanked down his pants and boxes and took hold of his penis, which stiffened almost instantly out of touch. Gretchen smiled, kneeled down on the shag carpet, and began licking the head of Ferb's cock like an ice cream cone, causing Ferb's mismatched eyes to nearly roll back in his head.
Wow,
said Phineas from the director's chair. He turned to Isabella.
Had she done that before?
I don't think so,
Isabella replied.
She just really likes frozen desserts.
For about a minute, Gretchen licked Ferb's cock while Ollie played with his balls. Then Gretchen stopped for a moment to pull off her baby blue undies, at which point Ferb seemed to remember that he needed to keep the action moving forward. He took a couple steps back from the girls and, with acrobatic grace, flipped up into a handstand. He then hand-walked over to the naked Gretchen, eye level with her vagina, and began licking a bald little slit.
Or a little bald slit.
Little bald slit. Gretchen then Gretchen sighed loudly, then remembering her lines.
Ooh, yeah, that's what I like.
She took hold of Ferb's cock again and began sucking it with vigor of a starving child with a popsicle.
Sucking it with vinegar?
I said vigor, I didn't
I
ruin
heard
it.
Vinegar.
No,
do the vinegar strokes.
You hear vinegar every time anyone says anything.
Yeah.
Master Burns, my legs were all gimpy. Who will provide for me little ones? Holly, for her part, opened a side table drawer and pulled out a vibrator. She lay on the couch near the vertically 69ing couple and began to apply the tip of the vibe to her clit, moaning loudly.
It's a good thing there. All right, it's a good thing there isn't too much dialogue,
Phineas whispered to his nearby friends.
I had no idea how distracting sex would be. I wonder if people in the neighborhood can hear the yelling.
That's somebody else's turn now.
We're circling back to Spencer.
Up in her room, Candace was still on the phone with Stacy when she thought she heard a scream. She wasn't just thinking about it. Stace, I'm going to have to call you back. I think something bustable is happening in the backyard. Candace closed her phone and looked out the window to see a smallish two-story pink house in the middle of the backyard. How did I not hear them building that? She asked herself aloud. Well, Mom's not going to be home for a few more hours, so I can't bust them now, but I can gather plenty of evidence.
Well, busting makes me feel good.
Surely nothing could go wrong this time. She grabbed the camera she had borrowed from Jeremy, a waterproof, shockproof, and loaded with an empty memory card and fresh batteries, and took off on a pre-planned route that would get her into the backyard unseen. She ran out the front door halfway around the block, through the tall grass and the empty lot behind the house, and over the back fence, all without breaking a sweat. Those step aerobics were really paying off.
Man, there's as much attention to detail for the not-sex scenes as there is for the sex scenes. I'm impressed.
I'm also very impressed. She sneaked up to the back of the strange pink house and peered in through a window. Now, she whispered to herself, let's see what those two little freaks are What Candace's eyes were taking in was too much for her brain to process. There was her brother, Ferb, buck-ass naked, swinging by his hands from a chandelier, while a girl in glasses had her naked front pressed against his. Arms wrapped around his neck and legs around his waist, the girl alternately shouted, yes, and whee! As they swung back and forth like some sort of XXX-rated trapeze act. Meanwhile, a cute nude black girl was watching them from the couch, masturbating enthusiastically with a vibrator. It was like watching some sort of massive auto accident in slow motion. Candace was horrified, but she couldn't tear her eyes away from the graphic and seemingly impossible scene. Stop looking, her voice cried. Every second you watch means another month in therapy someday. Having no other ideas, Candace slapped herself across the face, shocking herself out of her paralysis. She bolted for the back fence and leaped over it, barely making contact with the wood. Then she dropped into a crouch behind the fence and whipped out her phone.
Next up is me, Stacy, she said, trying to keep the terror out of her voice. Can I come over to your house right now for the whole day? Are you supposed to be watching your brothers? Stacy replied. Believe me, they've got enough people watching them. Well, I'm supposed to do some chores this morning. I'll help! I love chores! But I'm supposed to scrub. The scrubbing's awesome! I can't do enough scrubbing! I'm thinking about majoring in it in college!
It's a good field. I mean, it's got a lot of growth.
Okay, I guess you can be there in 30 seconds! Cried Candace, and she was off like a shot.
She took off like a shot. She needs a little, ooh, shock treatment.
On set, freckled fireside girl Millie was handing robes to the flushed and sweaty Gretchen, Holly, and Ferb. That was even more fun than when I earned my vibrator engineering patch, said Holly. Same.
Wow.
There's a lot of patches about the Girl Scouts I had no idea about. That's kind of awesome.
The joke is that anything they could possibly do in their made-up Girl Scouts is a patch.
Well, now it makes at least as much sense. And it was a lot more fun than being your beta tester, added Gretchen. She turned to Ferb and whispered, electrical issues, really not good. Ferb winced in sympathy. Ferb, where did you learn all of those positions? Baljeet asked in astonishment. Ferb pointed to his bag, which was sitting on a chair next to Baljeet. Baljeet reached in and pulled out a book. Aha, the boy said. The Kama Sutra, India's great contribution to human sexuality. Roy?
I'm amazed that they know all those different terms and about the Kama Sutra and everything.
Baljeet pulled out a second book, and apparently a sequel I was unaware of. Kama Sutra 2, Revenge of the Dragonfly Position.
What?
The boy then pulled out a rectangular box. Also, Kama Sutra the board game, he said, looking puzzled. Finally, Baljeet pulled out a DVD case. Kama Sutra the Disney Channel original movie musical?
And you know, we're all doing it again and again. We got to do it with our friends. You know that we gotta do this in high school.
Say what you like about Selena Gomez's acting, said Ferb as he pulled on his robe, but her flexibility is very impressive.
What?
Hey, Baljeet, said Isabella, stemming the torrent of questions that was about to pour from the boy's mouth. You want to play delivery boy too? He's a small Indian immigrant with big dreams. So basically, I would be playing myself, Baljeet replied. I see your dreams as more medium-sized, Buford interjected. Well, how about it? Isabella pressed. Baljeet glanced nervously at Buford. I suppose so, he said. Great, I'll go find your co-star. Meanwhile, think inspiring thoughts, Isabella said as she headed toward the Flynn Fletcher's back door. Gotta keep using that one specific term. All right, Baljeet said to himself. Inspiring thoughts. Winning the Nobel Prize in Mathematics.
Dream bigger, kid.
If that's what gets you hard, said Buford, you're a bigger dweeb than I thought. And that's saying something. A naked girl handing me the Nobel Prize in Mathematics? You're hopeless.
That was actually pretty good. I like that. Steve.
Isabella went into the green room. Really, the Flynn Fletcher living room with some temporary green curtains and large green towels thrown over the couches. Phineas had explained this.
I don't think green room is ever supposed to be literal, was it?
I think it originally started as a literal.
Yeah.
It's calming. Phineas had explained that this would provide a relaxing atmosphere while protecting the couches from porn-related stains. A few of the fireside girls were there chatting.
Okay, girls, said Isabella. I need someone to do the back office scene with Baljeet. Any volunteers? No, thanks, said Millie. Pass, said Addison. Me,
cried Ginger.
Well, that makes the decision easy,
said Isabella.
Ginger, report to wardrobe. Aye, aye, fearless leader.
Minutes later, the cast and crew met up in the garage. Half of it had been dressed to look like a pizzeria, while the other half was set up as an office. The camera was focused on the pizzeria side, where Buford stood behind the counter wearing a chef's hat and apron. Baljeet stood on the other side of the counter dressed in a red, white, and green uniform like Ferb's. Millie, now in charge of the clapperboard, stepped in front of the camera.
The dentist do, Danville! Scene 2, take 1!
Action!
Shouted Phineas.
No, wait. You gotta say it like they do on Time Crisis. Or no, Virtual Cop.
No,
what,
no.
Which one is it?
It's Time Crisis.
Is it Time Crisis?
Action!
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 Shouted Phineas. Ferb came in through the front door of the pizzeria, looking a bit winded.
Aw, man! Said Buford. What took you so long? The owner ain't gonna like this.
Just then, the door to the back office.
That's a baby Carl!
Hey, what do you mean, Danny? Yeah, we gotta eat this carpet. So fucking don't do nothing. But Danny, you can't eat carpet?
It's full of fiber!
Fibers, maybe.
Just then, the door to the back office flew open to reveal Ginger, dressed in business attire with a short skirt and requisite high heels.
You!
She shouted at Ferb.
It takes you an hour and a half to deliver one pizza? You're fired!
Ferb's eyes widened.
Wow, Ferb's got serious acting chops, Isabella whispered to Phineas.
But he doesn't have killer studio chops.
Why does everyone think that Ferb has good acting chops? I don't think he has good acting chops. Why does the story have to tell us?
The joke is that Ferb has maybe one line in every episode, and the rest of it is him just saying nothing or, you know, pointing or, you know, pantomiming a little bit. So the joke is that he's doing basically nothing. So he's a great actor.
All right, David, your turn.
Oh, but I don't wanna.
Do it.
I knew, Red!
Phineas agreed as Ginger slammed the office door. Belle G turned to Ferb.
Do not worry, my friend. She is merely quick-tempered. I will find a way to mollify her.
I like that he's turned Spanish now.
Belle G went to the office door and opened it a crack. The camera shifted to the office portion of the set.
Excuse me, boss, Belle G said. May I speak with you for a moment?
Yeah, whatever.
Ginger growled.
Yeah, whatever. Metal Gear.
Away on the adding machine. Baljeet entered the office, nearly on tiptoe.
I am wondering, is there any way to convince you not to fire my friend? I am certain he did not mean to be let.
Ginger said, then looked up at Baljeet.
Well, I can think of one thing that may change my mind.
She got up and walked around to the front of her desk, then sat on the edge and pulled up her short skirt.
Oh, shit.
No skirt.
Wearing no panties.
Black eyeliner, black lipstick.
Why would you say it that way? Why would you say wearing no panties as opposed to just not wearing anything?
I think it's emphasis on the absence.
Here, give me a slice of this pear,
she said seductively.
Ah, well, I see, said Baljeet in a genuine nervousness.
With genuine nervousness. It was obviously that he had never performed... Shit. That's not what it says. It was obvious that he had never performed oral sex on a girl before. Phineas leaned over to Isabella.
Maybe we should have had rehearsals.
Belgie tentatively stepped up to the desk. He got on down. Fuck. Oh, God. He got down on his knees, stuck out his tongue, and slowly moved it towards Ginger's little bald slit, as though it might be an electrical socket. Then he took a tentative lick. He said. He licked again, then again, then again.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of the clitoris?
He went.
One.
Then dove in, began licking Ginger's little cunny like it was the tastiest ice cream ever made.
Does he mean Rocky Road or chocolate Ginger cookie dough?
Gross.
It's on Ben both accounts.
It's Cherry Garcia.
No, that's the worst.
It is Willie Nelson's peach cobbler then.
That's not appropriate for what we're reading.
Stephen Colbert's Americone Dream.
Wow.
Jimmy Fallon's Late Night Snack.
That works.
It dawns on me that every ice cream flavor is a euphemism.
Yeah.
And actual flavors. Moving on.
I was going to ask that because I know there's this joke about Ben and Jerry's flavors always being weird names.
Well, they did make sweaty balls once.
They did. It was great.
After a Saturday Night Live.
What did it taste like?
Sweaty balls.
Tasted like some sweaty balls.
Anyway. Ginger shrieked with surprise and delight and threw her legs around Belgie's head. She fell back on the desk.
And gave herself a concussion.
Conk!
Her head actually
ripped open her blouse, revealing her little dark brown nipples. Which
my
she began rubbing
look like milk duds!
And rubbing and pinching to increase her pleasure.
Oh, yes!
Ginger shouted.
Back to Spencer.
And just shouted, Baljeet began vigorously tongue-fucking the girl, who threw her head back in ecstasy.
All the goyim say a pretty fly for a rabbi.
No.
Phineas and Isabella gasped as Ginger narrowly avoided cracking her skull on the edge of the desk.
Ow!
Wow. She looks like she's really into it, said Phineas. Yeah, she's a heck of a thespian.
So wait, they're making a porno at their age and they're concerned more about the like acting aesthetics.
Also, didn't they say
these kids have a bright future?
No, they said that you're not supposed to have any of these fucking terrible jokes.
I think no, in the film is what they're talking about.
Man,
Buford approached from the craft services table. What are you talking about? He said, his mouth half full of potato chips. We haven't shot the thespian scene yet. Isabella, I need to drink.
Yep.
Isabella just rolled her eyes. Verbal communication was impossible anyway. Anything she might have said would have been drowned out by Ginger's orgasmic screams. Yes, eat me, you little stud pony. Eat me.
Yeah, that's better.
I don't think I keep reading the stud.
What? You have so much problem with stud pony.
It looks like it's misspelled.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes, eat me so much more, you stud pony.
I don't think stud pony is in the script, whispered Phineas, but I guess Rocco, the actor should have some artistic freedom.
Put it in my big frog butthole.
No!
Yeah,
because right, I need to find some
she's
Rocco
thinking fan. About right now, Beef said ironically. On the set, Ginger put one hand on Bella Jean's head, pushing it away from her now soaking wet pussy.
Her face was
red and her chest was heaving.
Okay,
she gasped, glancing around. It was clear that she was having trouble remembering her next line. Fortunately, Ferb was prepared and held up a giant cue card where Ginger could see it. Now, fuck me, you subcontinental stud, the girl cried. She ripped
that exact cadence.
Probably Balji's shirt, then stripped off her skirt and what remained of her blouse and got up on the edge of the desk again. Baljeet shed his shirt and then dropped his pants and briefs simultaneously, revealing an endowment no boy his size and age had a right to have.
Holy cow! Isabella squeaked.
This is
more like holy horse, said Phineas Odd. No wonder he hardly ever screams when I give him a wedgie, Buford says. He's got a python protecting his family jewels.
Family jewels! I didn't think I'd still be able to do it 6 years later, but here we are.
All right.
Whoa! Isabella added, not taking her eyes off Baljeet's 9-inch wonder. It's a good thing that Ginger got her masturbation with vegetables patch last month.
And then last
month was the height of corn season.
Yeah, it's a good thing she got that last month.
You gals really get point. A patch for everything, said Buford.
Fireside girls are encouraged to pursue a variety of interests, Isabella explained, quoting from the handbook. You know, because it's good to keep your hand in.
Badoom-psh, she quipped. What did I say about cheesy double entendres? Buford demanded.
Oops, my bad.
Why don't you make him sound like Carl?
What did I say about cheesy double entendres?
You said we should not do them.
Oops, my bad.
That's right, me man. I said you shouldn't do them.
That's strike one, Buford grumbled. Meanwhile, Baljeet was now pushing his huge member into the groaning, gasping Ginger.
Groaning?
Oh, yeah! Give me
yes. Give it to me, baby.
Moaning, gasping Ginger. My bad.
Oh, it's so good! Put it in my big wet
mouth! Oh yeah! Give me every inch! She cried with perhaps a little hesitation.
When I don't want every inch, maybe just like half the inches.
I didn't think there'd be so many inches.
I thought that was gonna be like 2 inches, like three maybe.
And now the racist Indian guy from Short Circuit. This is most pleasurable, said Baljeet.
No, he's Spanish.
He's not Spanish. He's
Spanish.
He is not Spanish.
He's French. I'm Spanish.
No, you're not.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Than I am.
Said Baljeet with an expression
somewhere.
You're
the whitest kid I know.
Somewhere between
your name is,
dreamy.
Your name is Van Sickle, not Sonor Sickle.
And astounded. Okay, sorry. He worked as much of his considerable length into Ginger as would fit, then began pumping vigorously.
Oh! Yes.
Ginger, apparently no longer concerned about accommodating Baljeet's size, threw her arms around his neck and pushed her hips forward again and again to meet his thrusts.
This is getting intense,
said Isabella, fanning herself with her script. Really intense, said Phineas, staring open-mouthed at the scene. Eh, said Buford. My mom could do better.
No, I'm not going to leave you with that deep dark VA hospital.
Not taking her eyes off the action, Isabella said,
Buford, Do the letters TMI mean anything to you?
Ginger switched to a doggy-style position, getting on all fours on her desk.
Do me like a big bull!
Baljeet knelt behind her and drove his monster cock back into her pussy, then began humping away like a human jackhammer.
Read the rest of his card off as card.
Ginger screamed... Ginger screams of ecstasy rose higher and higher in pitch until Phineas started to worry that she might shatter the camera lens. Finally, she reached a crescendo, and Baljeet joined her in shouting, "Yes! Yes!" As they both came like gangbusters.
Yes!
Steve?
Like gangbusters.
Boom.
Brazzers.
When it was over, Baljeet said, "Oh my." Going off script for a moment. He climbed down from the desk and glanced over at Ferb, who pointed at himself. Thus cued, Baljeet continued, "So, may my friend have his job back?"
"Hell,"
gasped Ginger, still on the floor.
"If you do that again tomorrow, I'll give him a raise."
"And cut," shouted Phineas. "Guys, that was great work."
Millie brought the two actors their robes. Ginger began walking unsteadily off the set, clearly staggered by more than just her high-heeled shoes. Nonetheless, she had a goofy smile on her face.
"Terrific porn acting, Ginger," said Phineas. "I was completely believing those orgasms."
"I wasn't."
It doesn't help that she already has an actual porn name.
"Yeah,"
Ginger stammered weakly. "Acting."
Why does she have the same voice as the dying raccoon from Teen Girl Squad?
Because they're all Teen Girl Squad.
"You have given a hitting shot! Hey, back me!"
As she passed Baljeet, she whispered,
"Call me!"
The boy grinned widely.
"A little bit."
"And you had great enthusiasm in the oral sex part, Baljeet," Phineas added.
"Well," said Baljeet, "she is very tasty. Besides, they say it is good for you to eat some ginger now and then."
Fuck you!
"And right away, there's strike two," shouted Buford. "Am I just talking to myself over here?"
Ignoring Buford, Phineas continued,
"Your energy was terrific too."
"Well, I had to engage in vigorous activity to keep my blood pressure up," Baljeet explained. "Otherwise, the flow of blood to my genitals might divert too much oxygen away from my brain, in which case I would..." "Oh dear." Baljeet passed out and face planted on the set. Phineas turned to Ferb.
"Good thing we sprang for the deep pile shag carpet, huh?"
Why is Baljeet Mr. Sulu?
Next up is David.
Already?
Oh, David!
What? It can't be.
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay, good.
It's not David next, it's me next.
Hey, if the man wants to go next, man, let him.
I thought you went after me, or was that? Did I go straight to Steve?
You went straight to Steve.
Fuck. Okay, go ahead.
Meanwhile, Isabella had returned to the green room, where she was addressing the rest of the Fireside Girls. Next up is the mandatory girl-on-girl scene, so we need two volunteers. For the sake of believability, I think we should start with whoever is the lesiest. Addison, that's obviously you.
What?
The tall brunette Jesus cried. Christ. Since when? Hello, said Millie, since you kissed me at our last campout? That doesn't count, Addison protested. We were playing Truth or Dare, and Holly dared me to. She didn't dare you to put your tongue in my mouth, Millie said, casting her eyes downward in embarrassment.
It was implied.
Or your hand in my PJs.
Dude.
But it wasn't my fault. I was all messed up on s'mores.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did someone spike the s'mores?
Addison cried. Then she looked around at the faces of her fellow Fireside Girls, none of whom were buying it. Okay, fine, Addison confessed. I'm totally into girls. I would have eaten Millie's pussy right there if someone had dared me to. Millie yelped and involuntarily clapped both hands over her crotch. Okay, Addison, consider yourself cast, said Isabella. Now who wants to be in the scene with her? Blonde, pigtailed Katie spoke up. I'll do it if it'll get me my sapphic love patch. Absolutely, Isabella replied. Okay then, Addison said to Katie. Les, if you say be friends, I will poke you in the eye with a vibrator, the blonde girl said.
And it won't be a clean one.
Now I believe it's David's turn. David.
Minutes later, Addison and Katie were in costume, both wearing high-cut panties and matching camo soles.
Chemisoles.
They walked to the living room of the Tri-Delt house, passing Gretchen and Holly, who were lying on the couch with smiles of satisfaction on their faces.
Man,
said Katie to Allison as they started up the stairs.
Allison, I can't believe we missed the pizza guy. I really wanted to have some fun with him.
Well,
said Addison, we can always make our own fun. Come to my room and we'll play with some of my toys.
Are your toys as good as boys?
Maybe better.
I have no, well, they don't have stamina. They don't have stamina, so absolutely better.
They entered a bedroom with a pink queen-size bed. Addison closed the door behind
them. All right, I'm nominating Carl to just read the whole chapter.
No, Addison said, first things first. She put her hands on Katie's hips, pulled her close, and gave her a poor and obvious tongue kiss. Yeah! It has to be absolutely bananas to even get me off. I can't do Carl very well.
Go ahead, you were fine.
I'm doing what I was doing prior. Okay. I liked it better. She then grasped the hem of Katie's camisole and pulled it up and off the girl, exposing a pair of pink nipplies.
Nipplies?
My favorite snack, Addison said.
Pink nipples, or as we call them, pipples.
Addison said she pushed Katie back onto the bed and began sucking her little nipples, one after the other.
Nipples, or as we call them, lipples.
I've seen porn with that, actually. If you play Corruption of Champions, there's this girl named Skilla who's like a demon-infused nun that gets lipples, and you have to like feed the lipples cock semen, otherwise she'll go hungry.
I don't think I found that.
Wow.
My favorite snack. Katie moaned softly with pleasure.
Nice,
whispered Phineas from the director's chair.
Although I'm starting to wish I'd worn looser shorts.
As am I, said Vajit, looking simultaneously amused and woozy.
Boys,
grumbled Isabella. She took a virginity patch out of her pocket, looked at it, sighed, put it back. Meanwhile, Katie lifted her hips and Addison slipped the girl's panties off.
Oh, look,
said Addison with mock surprise as she exposed Katie's hairless pussy.
My other favorite snack.
He has a lot to read.
She began running her tongue up and down between Katie's labia while the girl rubbed her clit and moaned louder. She moaned louder.
Yes, yep. We got it.
After a minute, Addison took a breather and Katie said,
this is great, but you said something about toys.
Starring Robin Williams.
Addison said,
too soon.
I have some real fun ones. She reached under the bed and pulled out a hefty double-ended dildo.
Ooh, that does look like fun.
Instead of having sex with it, they then beat people over the head with it because it was actually a Saints Row pre-order bonus.
Indeed. It lubed up the monster toy. Both girls got on all fours on the bed, facing opposite directions.
Oh, this is going to be like that one scene from Requiem for a Dream.
Lord of the Rings and other things, and for some reason, a boxing match.
Seriously, that trailer music was all the rage back in the day. Yeah.
So was the Stargate music.
My name is Daniel Jackson. I change actors halfway through the show. Oh yeah, anyway, back on the bed, both all four grasp one end, work it in her vagina. Then two girls started humping forward and back, keeping the same rhythm so that each one's movement would push the dildo into the other's pussy.
Bam.
Yeah, oh yeah, moaned Addison. Shove that thing in me.
Fuck yes, give it to me,
cried Katie, clearly enjoying herself. Watching from behind the camera, Buford said, okay, I gotta admit, this is pretty hot.
Seriously hot.
Agreed, Phineas.
Phineas? Phineas.
Uncle Phineas.
That's a great ship name.
Ah, tequila. Staring glassy at the two naked, fornicating girls.
I'm so distracted. I feel like there's a question I should be asking right now, but I can't think of what it is.
What are we doing with our lives? Thank you to Steve Van Sickle, and thank you to Spencer for reading.
Farewell! I am off to my home planet!
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Spencer.
Yeah. For people who aren't familiar with the show, the question, of course, is where's Perry? Because they then have to wonder where the platypus is, and now we get to find out what the platypus is doing.
What am I doing here?
I don't know. What are you doing here?
I don't know. I have a free day today, so.
All right, well, do you want to go by no name or do you want to go by your real name?
Whatever is easier.
He has no name.
All right, we'll just call you Evan. And seriously, I'm going to call you Josh.
No, don't call me Josh. My name's Joe.
I'm going to call you Josh.
No, it's Joe.
Okay,
you can
Josh.
Joe.
All right, Josh, Joe. It's okay.
All right, Jojo, are you ready to go on a bizarre adventure with us?
All right, you're going to search for...
Did you stamp out my hair?
Back up maybe 10 feet from the mic, maybe. Evan, you're going to start at break 16.
All right. So I have no idea what this show is about, so I'll do my best.
Well, for frame of reference, all of these kids are 10.
I assumed, which is why this fic is not very... It doesn't settle with me very well. Perry the platypus yawned and opened his eyes. Looking at Phineas's alarm clock, he saw that it was nearly noon. No surprise, given that Perry had been up until the wee hours of the morning, foiling Dr.
Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz. And his Write My Name on the Moon innator, Doof had gotten it into his head that he would be respected and feared through the tri-state area if everyone who looked up at the moon would see the name of Heinz Doofenshmirtz. All right. Gonna open up my drink for that. Of course, even as he explained his plan to Perry, whom he had sucked into the tube of an old telescope attached to a vacuum cleaner, leaving only his head free. Wow.
Ah.
Doofenshmirtz had realized that writing his full name on the moon would require either an unreadably tiny font or an odd godly number of hyphens. My God. Ultimately, he just blasted the initials HD on the moon's surface and waited for gasps of fear and awe to waft up from the street. Instead, he only heard a lone woman's voice say, "The moon is in high definition now. Cool." All right.
I didn't need to make that joke then.
Joshua, if you can think of a joke to relate to something that happens in the fic, the author probably makes it two paragraphs later.
Is this your alias for writing fanfic, Roy?
I wish I was this good.
Doof had erased his initials and was trying to decide what to write in their place when Perry used his bill to throw his hat at the switch on the vacuum, changing the setting from suck to blow, and thereby firing himself like a cannonball at the back of Doof's head.
Shoo!
I'm just imagining that scene from Spaceballs.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
One press of a self-destruct button later, the day, or rather the night, was saved again. Spaceballs!
That is definitely Spaceballs.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, Doofenshmirtz, never gonna get tired of reading that, was probably just as tired as Perry. So if he were to hatch another plan, it probably wouldn't happen until at least mid-afternoon. So the platypus decided to go see what the boys were up to.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I just got an email from Pizza Hut saying meet the 4 and 20 stuffed crust.
What?
Oh, man, I could really go for some pizza right now.
No.
It doesn't even have anything to do with 420. Why are they calling that?
400.
Oh, okay. No. Okay, see, in Australia, there's a pie brand called 4 and 20. So they just put pie into the crust.
Oh. Wow,
that looks terrible.
Is it dessert pizza or is it...
No. Like, by pie, I mean like meat pie.
Oh.
Put some sausage in my pie, please.
I'll do that any day. And cut, shouted Phineas. Great work, ladies.
That was awesome, said Addison.
That's Addison, right? She held up the double dildo.
Hey, Phineas, can I keep this when we're done finish shooting?
Sure, you can take any prop you want, as long as they don't end up on eBay. Addison turned to Katie.
Any chance I can keep you?
Not until they make it being someone's type love monkey patch.
Some dyke. There's not being someone.
Not until they make a being some dyke's love monkey patch, Katie replied.
All right,
that's
her.
Mean. If you just had some fun with somebody and you want to do it again, there's no shame in it. It doesn't matter. Michael Jackson said that. Macaulay Culkin. Yo, Steve. Oh, bro.
Wait, they don't make one of those, Addison said. Nuts, that would have been an easy one. Okay, gang, Phineas said. We're down to the big finale scene, so we're gonna need all hands on deck. And there are two characters that haven't been cast yet. Bella? Well, the girl said, I've chosen myself for the role of sorority president, and I'd like you to play Delivery Boy 3. This works so well. A director's cameo! Great idea, Isabella, Phineas exclaimed. But don't you have that patch you wanted to... The casting director has spoken, Isabella said, folding her arms. Okay then, said Phineas agreeably. I guess someone else is gonna have to take over the director's chair. I'll do it, Buford said enthusiastically. It's time,
Buford. Buford should have been the one character who didn't sound like Carl.
I'll do it, Buford said enthusiastically. It's time Buford showed the world his artistic sophistication.
That was the worst one I've ever heard.
Oh, there have been way worse.
About artistic sophistication.
Great, Phineas replied. So what's my motivation in this scene? You're horny. How about mine?
I really want to stay mad at this, but I can't. I can't stay mad at it, man.
How about mine, piped Isabella.
You're horny too.
Baljeet spoke up. And shall the rest of us assume...
Consider yourself the rest of...
Buford growled. Buford then turned to Millie.
Perfectly as Meat One. Oh my god.
Who had taken over as camera operator.
Okay, I want a cinema verite look with the felonious tendency toward the Baroque.
Wow.
Millie looked at the controls on Ferb's digital video camera. What do you know? There's actually a button for that. A few minutes later, all of the players were in costume and in their places. Oh god, my voice! Okay, was that actually worth me killing my throat?
Yes! Totally. Oh my god, that was the best!
That was amazing!
Okay,
I'm gonna go to the sound now.
I got some motherfucking chicken and beans over here!
Roy, you're up!
Uh-oh. Action! Buford barked! Isabella, Katie, Holly, Addison, and Gretchen were all lounging in the Tri-Delt living room. The four girls who had been in previous scenes were back in their same lingerie. Isabella, for her part, was dressed in a slightly more modest blue satin nightgown. There was a knock at the door. Come in, Isabella called. The door opened and in walked Phineas, Ferb, and Baljeet in their delivery boy uniforms, each carrying 5 pizza boxes. Phineas's pizzas were in order. Pepperoni, meat lovers, Phineas's shirt was half open, revealing a treasure trove of gold medallions of gold medallions against his smooth chest. Behind them was Ginger, now back in her suit and heels. Ginger said...
Is Phineas an Italian name? That's I guess that's what they're going for.
No idea.
No, but that's probably just the character.
Either that or Phineas actually is Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Hey, go! Where you going? Don't you want to get with this 8-year-old?
Wow.
Okay, moving on.
I'm waiting for Roy.
Okay, I'm aware. Well, Ginger said, you girls must be really hungry. Not only did you order 15 pizzas, but you specifically requested that they be brought by all 3 delivery boys. So I decided to come along to make sure they don't get into trouble. She paused and casually unbuttoned the top 2 buttons of her blouse. Or, at least, that they get into the right kind of trouble. Ferb's eyes widened. Wow, Millie whispered to Buford. That guy's a master of drama. Yeah, ain't he? Buford whispered back. Ferb's pretty good at acting. Well then, said Isabella, welcome to the party. Girls, you have fun with these 3. As sorority president, I'm claiming Golden Boy here for myself, she said, grabbing Phineas's hand and leading him upstairs.
Kentaro Oe from Golden Boy?
Nobody gets that, Dave.
I get that! Shut up!
Yeah, look at that guy. That guy, David knows. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Roy.
It's David knows, that's all that matters.
Have you ever seen Golden
Boy? I just gave David his own shout out.
Oh, a shout out to my friend David Hubbard, who's actually me.
Awesome.
Oh, what, shit.
What's an anime?
It is an anime.
I said, what's an anime?
Oh, it's a Japanese cartoon.
Oh, so it's Japanimation.
Oh, I'm going to try to do Shake, but it probably won't get work out well because I was going to try and do Shake. I haven't watched Aqua Teen in years and years and years, and I barely watched it. Parry the platter! No, hang on.
Three words in!
I know, I can imagine what it sounds like. Perry the Platypus went out back and saw the tall pink house. This wasn't terribly surprising. The boys were always building something big in the backyard. Meanwhile, what'd you build in the backyard this time? He decided to check it out by his usual method. Going into just a platypus that doesn't do much mode and sticking his head in the front door. The door was already slightly ajar when Perry got there. The little monotreme peeked in and suddenly nothing made sense. Dash, 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 dash.
All right, Sir Splee, you're up.
Hooray!
Dash, 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 dash,
dash, dash, dash, dash, dash, dash, dash, dash, Spring 19. Okay, that's enough.
Rockman, dash.
Yeah, fuck me. Harder, harder. Scream Ginger as Baljeet pounded her from behind. She was standing, forearms braced against the living room wall, and her legs in half split so that her pussy would be to the right height of somewhat shorter...
At the right height
for her somewhat shorter partner's substantial organ.
Also, you said forearms, so now I'm imagining her as a Goro.
I am Goro, General of the Armies of the Outworld and Prince of the Subterranean Realm of Shokar.
Put it in my butt!
Combat time!
Oh, yes, it's combat time. There
combat
you go.
Time.
Combat time! Combat time! Yeah, it's combat time!
You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of General Grievous, but holding a bunch of dildos.
No! No, you're doing the worst thing. You're taking something terrible from the prequel series and you're making it awesome.
That's the vibrations.
You didn't like the Clone Wars show? Orphan?
I haven't seen the Clone Wars show. I don't think. I might have blocked it out of my memory.
It's on the first episode, it's alright.
The boy's eyes were screwed shut as he hammered the girl's ass again and again. Ferb, for his part, was lying on the coffee table while Gretchen and Kading rode his cock and face, respectively. As though they were a double-length human Sibian.
This episode is brought to you by Sibian. Go to amazon.com/nerdyshow and make sure you buy yourself a Sibian.
Wow.
I still don't think that's an actual link they can go to. I think it might be nerdyshow.com/amazon, though.
No, nerdyshow.com/support.
Nerdyshow.com/support. Google search as Sibian. Get yourself a Sibian. While you still can, because Amazon's going to sell out from how many people are going to buy one from this link.
I don't have a room! Gretchen pumped up and down madly.
Get up and down.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Gretchen pumped up and down madly while Katie pinched and squeezed her nipples and shifted her hips. Here.
Squeezed her nipples, or as we say, scripples.
Squeeples.
Encouraging Ferb's tongue to move to her most. Yeah, sensitive spots. Addison had pushed Holly halfway over the back of the couch and was licking her slit like she was some kind of state fair pussy eating contest.
Woof.
Ah, the classic.
Yeah, I know. It was like, you know, Steve, when we went to the state fair in Maryland a couple years ago, do you remember the pussy eating contest?
You guys totally missed it.
It involved a lot more cats than I would.
Dana the Dank Darnell was able to eat 14 pussies within 2 minutes. Fucking world record up until that woman from Korea took it.
Poor cats.
Holly's loud moans suggested that if she had a problem with this situation, it wasn't much of a problem. For somewhere just off, from somewhere just offset, there was a whap, followed by a scampering sound. What was that? Said Millie from behind the camera. Don't know, Blueford said. It kinda sounded like a platypus slapping itself in the face and then running away.
Weird.
Anyways, switch to camera two. Millie flipped a switch on the console next to her, which allowed her to remotely operate a camera placed in the upstairs bedroom of the Tri-Delt house. Isabella had just led Phineas in there and closed the door. The tall, angular fireside girl went to the king-size bed and lay down on her side, bending up her legs seductively. How do you bend up your legs? How?
Normally I have answers for these, but today...
Okay, what the author means is that she pulled her knees to her chest, but
okay,
why he chose to say bend his legs upwards.
Makes more sense than bending up.
Mm-hmm.
Come here, cutie. She's... Wait, come here, cutie.
Why does she sound like B. Arthur?
I have no idea.
That is so not B. Arthur. That's the farthest thing from B. Arthur, Dave.
Oh, my bad. Estelle Getty.
Oh, David, I'm trying to do this voice, but failing.
Don't, please, don't.
Phineas stepped forward, front heavy, all the gold medallions stumbled and fell on his face. Huh, said Buford. I'm gonna have to talk to the wardrobe about their costume choices. Good thing we moved that shag carpet to that room, Millie said. Seeing that Phineas was unharmed, Isabella said dreamily, Oh, delivery boy number three. I've been logging for you all summer, semester. Haven't you noticed me? Buford
glanced. San Sama-chan.
Oh, Rocco. Buford glanced at the sheaf of papers on his lap. She's going off script, he said. Maybe we better cut.
All right, back to Evan.
Isn't David here next?
No, did David go?
Yes, I totally win.
All right, David, you're up.
What was the last one you did?
No way!
Millie responded.
Something tells me this is about to get good.
Phineas was being forced to ad-lib, even as he freed himself from his mass of medallions.
It's not that I haven't noticed you.
Really?
Isabella replied.
What exactly have you noticed about me?
Well, gosh, you're fun to be with, you're smart, you're willing to try anything, and you're cuter than modern science can measure. Really, you're the most amazing girl I have ever met.
Quick side note, that's literally true, that last bit. She's actually cuter than modern science can measure in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they made a cute tracker in an episode, and when he didn't tell it to account for her cuteness initially, it shorted out.
So,
Isabella said cautiously,
you like me?
No.
Realization hit Phineas like a pallet of cinder blocks dropped from a crane.
I guess.
What a coincidence, a pallet of cinder blocks dropped from a crane onto his head.
Yeah.
I guess I do.
He said, the look on his face rapidly shifting from surprise to wonderment to joy.
I mean, I really do.
Hooray! Then...
Oh, shit. Isabella squeaked. Then, glancing at the camera, she quickly got back into character.
Well, in that case, how about you come over here and show me how much?
No.
How about you come over here?
Phineas approached and sat on the bed next to Isabella.
But, he said, what about your virginity pledge?
Delivery boy!
The girl sighed, running a finger down the side of Phineas's face.
It's not for keeping your virginity.
Oh,
Phineas said, having a second major revelation in the last half minute. Isabella grabbed Phineas and kissed him, first softly, then harder. Phineas threw his arms around her and responded in kind.
Stop throwing your arms all over the place. You're going to get them all mixed up.
Someone's going to get hit by the head. Like,
whose watch was this? My arm didn't have this watch.
Anyone? Oh, I told you this was going to get good.
Millie said to Buford, Yeah, epic romance. When are they going to start humping? Phineas seized the straps of Isabella's black nightie and pulled it over her head, revealing her naked panty. Isabella unbuttoned Phineas's shirt and hurled it away, then yanked down to his pants and briefs.
Oh, I guess about now, said Buford. Phineas, now in the spirit of things, pushed Isabella down on the bed and began sucking her little brown nipples.
Little brown nipples, or as we call them, libipples.
Libipples?
Libipples.
What? She gasped with pleasure and clutched the boy's head to her chest.
Oh, yes, Sony-chan Samusan.
Oh, Daisuke-yo!
After a minute, I have the most vigorous anti-boner. Let him read.
This is going from making fun of anime to just straight up racist.
No, dude, that's how anime porn goes. Have you ever watched it?
Like that one?
Have you watched anime porn? Any of them? They're all the same.
I think I know the one you're meaning. You're meaning Val, and yes, I have.
Anyways, just varying degrees of how many girls have weenus.
After a minute,
she rolled him over, slid down his body, and started sucking his stiff cock.
She clutched his head to her chest, and then they stayed there for a full minute.
Random metal voice, I like it.
I'm too busy eating yon yon.
yon yon, Daisikyo. After several moments, the red light on top of camera 2 went off as Millie switched back to camera 1. Hey, Phineas gasped. They're not shooting anymore. If you need a break, Isabella's tongue swirled around the head of Phineas's cock.
Roy, can I make a formal request? Can we have good fan fiction at some point, please?
This is good fan fiction.
This is the best fan fiction of the season.
This is not
so
bad at all.
You know it.
But Roy,
like, if you remember,
No. Okay, I hear David's request. Starting next week, we'll have the best fanfic.
Is it going to be a continuation of Salacia Daycare?
No,
because that was pretty good.
No,
has there? No, I could.
I want to get through this one.
No, of course.
I hate it. Just let him finish. We're close, Dave.
Oh, we are. Are we?
Yes.
We're at the climax. All right. Of course. If you don't need a break of. Oh wow. Isabella finally stopped and moved her head back up next to Phineas's. Isabella, Phineas said, I'm so sorry I was such a lousy listener. How can I make it up to you? What should I give her? Well, for starters, the girl replied, spreading her legs, you can eat a slice of this pie.
Lucy Lupa, no!
Don't mind
I love
if
you
I
very
do.
Much, Billy, every team.
Don't mind if I do, said Phineas, moving down between Isabella's legs and starting to lick her out. That's good.
Oh, I was actually expecting him to, like, reach down beneath her and pull out a pie.
But that would chocolate be logical flavor. And funny and something that's actually cartoony.
And all a little bit loony.
Strawberry.
Really?
Strawberry lube, Isabella explained. Just because I'm a virgin doesn't mean I didn't come prepared.
I'm only 19. What do you mean?
Good.
Old.
Good, Phineas whispered, glancing at the camera. Because we're on again. Phineas spent a couple minutes eating out the moaning, gasping, whimpering Isabella until she grabbed him,
rolled him over, gasp, moan,
and
whimper,
got on top
gasp,
of him.
Moan.
Moni-chan!
Oh, here we go, she said. She reached down and pulled the head of Phineas's cock between her
you said it, not me.
between her lower lips and began sinking down to it. She stifled a yelp of pain, and Phineas heard her mutter, stupid virginity.
Why is Isabella a robot?
I don't care, I like it, roll with it.
Are you okay? Phineas whispered. I'm working on it, Isabella whispered back through the gritted teeth. Just keep going. Isabella slowly moved up and down on Phineas's shaft, waiting for her vagina to adjust to its presence inside. Phineas grasped her hips and looked up at her adoringly. Back to camera 1, Buford said to Millie, before I need an insulin shot.
All right, here we go. Enjoy it, guys. This is the last one I'm going to do during this story, because we're almost done. Downstairs, there had been some switching around. Ginger was bent over the coffee table with Katie fucking her from behind with a vibrator and Addison pushing anal beads into her one by one. Ginger herself was determinedly trying to deep-throat Baljeet, who was leaning... Damn it.
Take a drink, you big old lightweight.
Oh, yeah.
Why do I have blue fuzz on my dong?
You might want to see a doctor about that.
Stop messing with the Cookie Monster.
If you've experienced blue fuzz on your dog, make sure to consult your doctor, as serious complications may arise.
Who was leaning against the couch with a delirious smile.
We got the CPR parts, right?
Buford asked Millie. Uh-huh, the girl answered.
At least one of them is gonna need it.
Simultaneously, Ferb was squatting on the couch, soul-kissing Gretchen while fucking Holly from behind.
Wow, the spider monkey position,
Buford said.
That kid really does know them all. Okay, back to camera 2.
Upstairs, Isabella seemed to have gotten past the initial pain, and now she was cowgirling Phineas with great enthusiasm.
Hey, baby.
The boy was tweaking the nipples as she bounced up and down, a look of ecstasy on her face.
We say, quipples.
Then, seeming to sense that they were on camera, Isabella dismounted Phineas and lay on her back.
Yes.
A new challenger approaches. Bending her legs back until her knees were nearly on top of her shoulders. Yoga patch, she whispered to Phineas as he got on top of her.
That's different from bending her knees up. So what the hell was bending her knees up supposed to be?
What, Dave?
Steve, that is yoga. Yoga patch. Yoga patch. Yoga flame.
Phineas made sure the camera could get a good view of his and Isabella's matted genitals.
Mated.
Matted.
Yeah, matted.
One T.
Yeah.
Oh, mated.
Made the mat. Matt the mater. Then started fucking her vigorously. Yes. Isabella moaned. Clearly not acting.
Yes.
Clearly not acting. I want you deep inside me. Almost done, Steve. You can do this. Oh, yeah. Phineas gasped, pumping harder. This feels so good. I didn't know it would be like this. I don't think I'm going to last much. Oh! Yeah!
Yeah!
Isabella shrieked, clutching Phineas to her as her pussy spasmed around his cock.
This is like baby's first porno as read by Carl.
That's awesome.
That day, Phineas became the Corn Lord, and he ruled over Metal Mountain for 1,000 years.
Phineas collapsed on top of Isabella. The red light on the camera went off. That was awesome! Phineas gasped. Mm-hmm. Isabella purred, still holding him against her. I guess I was a little quick on the draw. Yeah! The boy breathed into her ear. Porn sex usually takes longer.
As I know from my extensive research of one movie.
Yes, but that's because they, you know, edit and take cuts and breaks and shit like that.
Quality beats quantity any day, Isabella said dreamily. From downstairs came a chorus of shouts and screams of orgasmic pleasure as their fellow actors came en masse.
En masse.
It says en masse. I'm reading it like it's written.
No, it's on mass.
You go back to where you came from! This is America!
Hey, I'm gonna leave back to Canada.
No, wait! Phineas closed his eyes and smiled. And that's a wrap.
I'm going to go kiss my wife apologetically.
Man, Zach and Mary make a porno too was way different than I expected.
Roy, it's your turn.
I don't think those franchises crossed over in this fanfic, no matter how much you wanted it to, Roy. Why are you doing that? You're interrupting the flow of the show, and now I have to take control. Today, kids, we'll be reading a new fanfic I just wrote called Steve, Stop Sucking Face with Your Wife. We're doing a show. Be a professional.
No, he's just closing out the blinds for some reason. I'm afraid now.
Once upon a time, there was an asshole who was not professional on his show. His name was Steve-O, level 99 Bortz, and he lived at 1223 Marigold Lane. Don't send your hate mail there, kids. Wink. XXX666XXX. Steve-O Bortz was one day sucking face with his wife. His wife was saying, hey, why don't you go back downstairs and be professional, you clod? And then Steve was like, that's a good idea. I'll go do that. And then email Dave $100.
Dave, there's no way I'm emailing you $100. True. You still owe me $42.50 for them sports drinks I gave you.
Oh, you didn't give me one sports drink.
Uh-huh. Bananarama.
No, you didn't give me one blueberry butt rape. Not one.
Butt rape?
Yes, blueberry butt rape.
All right, is that the episode title?
No. Can we keep going? Let's keep doing this. We're close. We're almost done.
All right, who's reading?
It's Roy. I said it was Roy when I left.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did!
No, didn't.
Well, fine, I'm subbing out for Siri.
No.
Hang on, come on, speak. 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 Damn it, I set this text-to-speech up wrong. Go, go.
Just read normally.
Ugh, fine. Siri, text-to-speech on Siri says fuck you really well. it really pronounces it well. So I wanted to see how it handled, like, the rest of an erotic bit.
Fuck. Fuck. Fuck.
No, no, like, it's, you'd think that's what it is, but it really leans into it. Anyway, that's a wrap, break 23. Phidias and the other actors had just finished taking down the sets when Buford and Millie reappeared. No one had seen them since Buford yelled cut at the end of the orgy scene. Oh, there you guys are, said Phidias. Sorry we couldn't give you bigger parts in the movie. I hope you're not feeling, you know, frustrated. Nah, said Buford. We just finished banging in the green room. You're really going to want to wash those green towels now, Millie added. So, said Phidias, I guess a good time was had by all. There's just one thing left to do. Premiere our masterpiece. No, you've got to edit and mix all the post-production.
Screw that, they didn't do it back then. It's a amateur porn.
I bet Perry would love...
Yes, amateur.
I bet Perry would love to see... Hey, where is Perry? At OWCA headquarters, a distraught-looking Perry stood in front of the confiscated amnesia innator.
No.
Sorry, amnesia innator. It's the manly amnesia innator. Do you really want me to erase the last hour of your memory, Agent P? Said Carl from behind the controls. Perry nodded so hard, nearly gave himself whiplash. Then he kept nodding and did give himself whiplash. 2 hours later, dozens of kids streamed out of the makeshift movie theater the kids had set up in the Flynn Fletchers' backyard. It wasn't unusual for so many kids to show up on short notice to a Phineas and Ferb-related event. What was unusual was how quiet the crowd was. A girl with a light blue hair bow and a glazed look said, That was... I don't know what that was. Irving, walking behind her, said, Definitely a departure from Phineas and Ferb's usual offerings. Maybe I'll leave this one out of the scrapbook.
There wasn't even a single musical number, a husky blonde boy noted. What's that all about?
A girl said to the boy walking next to her,
You know that game of you show me yours and I'll show you mine we were going to play later? Seems a little pointless now.
Yeah, said the boy glumly. I guess we've seen everything. Then his face brightened. Want to have doggy-style sex instead? That's not Homestar at all. I'll leave that to Steve-O.
You want me to do that?
Sure, if we can throw some reverse cowgirl in there.
The girl replied.
Why not?
The boy said as they walked away, becoming the same person.
Yeah, Splee is next.
In the backyard, the kids were just starting to break down the temporary theater they had set up. Ferb was about to start collecting the folding chairs when he noticed that that one of them was still occupied. Wonderfully occupied. Hey, Ferb, said Vanessa Duvenschmidt, standing up. I know your movie wasn't a big hit with your friends, but I liked it. She took a step closer. I had no idea you were so talented. Ferb's eyes widened. Exactly, Vanessa said. So, want to come to my mom's house? She's out at some class or other, and her place has a great chandelier. Besides, she added, I've got something those Friarside girls don't. An intriguing dark side, said Ferb. Well, yeah, but I was going to say boobs.
Boobs.
Vanessa answered. Ferb grinned. He followed her back. He followed her out to the curb and got her motor scooter behind her. And off they went.
Who's typing? It's super loud. Steve-O?
Out back.
Hold on.
Out back, Isabella and Phineas were rolling up the movie screen. This has been a heck of a day, huh? Said Phineas. It sure was, said Isabella. Hey, I almost forgot. I can put on my virginity patch now.
I'll say.
She opened her secret
sash. You go do that, Mickey.
She opened her secret sash, then reached into her pockets and pulled out the patch, which bore the image of an exploding cherry.
Boom!
So, that's what it is. I said Phineas.
No, that's what that is.
So that's what that is. Said Phineas, I noticed you were looking at it before, but I figured it had something to do with fireworks.
You know, for such a smart guy, you can be kind of thick. That's not what I was going for.
Oh, that's what you got. That's what you ended up with.
All right, let's wrap this up. I got one more if we got the time for it.
Isabella said cutely as she stuck the patch on her sash. Then she took Phineas's hand.
I've been into you all summer long, she said with a grin. And now I finally got you into me.
From behind them, a raspy voice shouted, And this is strike three! Buford is out of here!
And last up, I believe
apologize to all listeners at home for the peeking on your headphones just then.
A few minutes later, just as the kids removed the last traces of their impromptu movie theater from the backyard, Linda Flynn Fletcher arrived home. She parked her car and went into the backyard to find Phineas and his friends chatting on the back porch.
Hi, Mom,
Phineas said.
Hello, everyone! Phineas, where is your brother?
It's their dad that's English.
Oh, I don't care.
He's hanging out with a friend.
I see. And what did you do today?
You! We made a movie, but it wasn't a critical success.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Would you like... Would you all like some pie?
This is the highlight of my life.
Okay. Yes, please. Sure. The kids viciously shouted,
Viciously?
Viciously.
Yes, please! Sure!
Shut up! Get rid of pie!
Yeah. I will never hear that word the same way again. But she whispered to Phineas.
Oh, thanks, Mati.
Yeah.
What? No, he's not Mati. He's goddamn Fernando Martinez.
Okay, Mati.
He's not Italian or Spanish.
I was hearing Meta Knight from the Kirby TV show.
Oh, God.
Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Yes, that too.
A Puss in Boots. Okay.
Come on.
Isabella walked up next to Phineas. Who took her hand just as Ginger sidled. Is it sidled?
Yes.
Is that the way you spell
yes,
that?
Yes, that's how you spell it.
I never knew.
It's
sidled up to Bajie.
Well,
Isabella said,
our movie night might have been a flop. But I think we all got a happy ending.
Just then, Phineas heard a rattling growl from behind him.
Oh, there you are, Perry, he said. You don't know what you missed.
Perry really didn't, but somehow he was okay with them.
He was okay with them.
Fuck all of you, alright? I'm trying, okay?
I was trying too.
Alright, I think we got just enough time to squeeze this one out.
That's what she said.
I don't have to read.
What is it? No, hang on.
It's Sweat by Commander.
Wait, the guy who wrote Space Debris is going to be writing fanfics?
I don't know. Anyways, same order. Start with Evan.
Oh, joy. So what is this supposed to be?
You'll see.
I don't want to see. That's why I'm drinking. Because I won't see after a while.
You need to get that checked. Gosselin.
Ryan?
Is that a Darkwing Duck one?
Gosselin felt her mind reel as beads of sweat trickled down her hot body, only to be cooled by the strange liquid that was pinning her to the bed.
Pining.
Whatever. You make me drink. Which ironically made her sweat even more. She let out a gasp of pleasure before she could stop herself. Damn it, Goss, she mentally berated herself. Stop enjoying this so much. She had never thought she'd fall under someone's charm so quickly, especially when that someone was a sleazy salesman who reeked of lies. So, all of them? Especially when she said sleazy salesman...
No, there was no she.
Especially when said sleazy salesman was comprised completely out of liquid.
Tongue twister, said sleazy salesman.
That's...
Down the seashore. And that liquid
Sleazy salesman sells seashells by the seashore.
Sleazily.
And that liquid was inside of her now. Inside of her and holding her and doing everything in the world to her. Well, I don't know about that.
I've seen some anime porn that started this way.
I knew. I knew you couldn't resist. No, no.
Refuse.
I know.
How did you turn refuse to resist?
You should say refuse.
Look, I'm a real lightweight.
Dude, I'm on tequila number two. All right.
And I'm on cider number one. I'm just about to finish it.
You guys suck. Oh, man.
I'm the only one who actually drinks on this show anymore.
Hey, I've drank.
I can't drink.
I drank a third of a 1.5 liter bottle of wine.
That doesn't count at all. That's like 10 proof.
All right, let's let him read.
I was drinking my own tears just now.
You know what, Steve? You bring up a good point. Let him read.
I knew you couldn't refuse my offer. As usual, the liquidator's dialogue was smooth and precise, like something from a carefully planned commercial. But even he couldn't stop himself from panting and gasping with pleasure as well. All right, so if it's from a commercial, I'll try to do my best Morgan Freeman impression. He finally had her, that little whelp, who had followed Darkwing around for years now. All right, well, now we know this is from. He had always found her to be shrewd and feisty and everything else in a woman that he couldn't resist. As she grew older, so did his desire.
Wait a minute, so his desire grew older?
How old is Goslin supposed to be?
She was like 12 in the TV show.
So at this point, she's like, well, that show came out, what, 96?
Yeah, so she's like 40.
She's like 30-something right now.
32.
Oh, man. Wow.
Thrust himself into it.
Dangerously horny.
No! Roy, stop!
He thrust himself into her, and her hips rocked against his own as she groaned in pleasure that she was unable to contain. Goslin caught herself before the entire word was out. Yeah,
my dick. Wouldn't
that score big points with Dad? Sorry, Dad, but I accidentally gave away your secret identity to one of your biggest enemies while he was fucking me.
Oh, that's okay, sweetie. It happens. I understand.
That's all right, Goslin.
I'm a cool dad.
She bit her lip from crying out again as the liquidator, with all the smoothness that a man made out of liquid can achieve, pulled out of her and thrust in again before continuing breathless. If Darkwing Duck. No, I can't do it. All right.
If Darkwing Duck thinks it can stop me.
If Darkwing Duck found out.
Literally in this sense, because I'm going to fuck him.
Just do Alan Rickman.
His corkscrew duck dick.
If Darkwing Duck.
Corkscrew duck dick. That's the episode title.
God damn it, let me read.
Okay, go, Evan, go.
Thank you. If Darkwing Duck found out what you were doing to me. But wait, was an offer you simply couldn't refuse. Wait, was that her or him? I don't know.
He stopped
speaking
for a moment, pausing his side thrusting movements in and out of the girl. Besides, he said.
Yeah, it was her saying if Darkwing Duck found out, and then he goes, but this was an offer you simply couldn't refuse.
But you couldn't refuse it, because you didn't refuse it. And now because you didn't refuse it, you're mine.
Besides, he said, in a hoarse voice that sounded unlike him, I could tell that you've wanted this for a long time.
That's beside the point, said Goslin, her fingers tightly clutching the sheets underneath her. Darkwing still couldn't. Her sentence was
couldn't.
Damn it.
Ah, ha, ha. Take a drink, comrade.
Goslin, do you ever read this fanfic? Darkwing still wouldn't. Her sentence was cut short by a gasp as the liquidator. That's actually really fun to say.
Liquidator.
Pumped himself into her with even more force, pinning her even tighter to the mattress. She had been at the softball field late into the afternoon as she so often was, practicing her swing and cursing and letting out all of her pent-up emotions there, all alone, where no one could hear her scream.
How?
Except the liquidator had. Have you been feeling upset that no one appreciates your talents, that you've been feeling ignored?
Has this ever happened to you? There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a better... Well, now there is. Hi, Liquidator here for new Getting a Better Way.
Then don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Do you want all of your holes plugged in at once?
David, I'm reading, damn it. David.
Okay.
Back up. You're the sub, Dave. I'm the main. You're the sub.
Steve, hold on.
Back
real
up.
Quick.
Dave, you're special teams. Back off.
Steve, don't yell at me, man.
It's okay. I love you, Dave.
Sensitive.
You're going to love Steve's nuts.
SGC 2010, man, some shit went down.
He had popped out of a tiny puddle on the ground so quickly that Gosling had.
The calcium had had. What does calcium have to do with this, Steve?
That Gosling had no time to react before he made his offer. An offer that he hadn't even spelled out. But she could tell, just by looking into his watery eyes, exactly what he was talking about. Still, though, she kept on her guard, fearing that she might be misinterpreting what he was asking of her. I'm not going to join forces with you, she snapped, wielding her bat defensively. Although, in respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. How exactly could she harm a talking puddle of water? He had paused for a moment, apparently at a loss for words, which made Gosling's... It looks wrong, but I know it's right. Gosling's stomach churn.
If it looks wrong because Google keeps on highlighting it in red.
Could be counted on for anything. It was always having a line of advertisement jargon handy. When he finally spoke, it was with words that Gosling had never heard in any ad. What about joining our bodies? It was affirming what Gosling had suspected, not revealing...
We'll join our nipples, or as we call them, jipples.
Alright, I'm gonna veto that. That's like the seventh time you've done the same joke, Roy.
Here's the thing, it gets funnier as time goes on.
Revealing something that she hadn't dreamed. Still, though, she stared at him in shock. Unable to believe that he had actually gone as far as to ask her. God's heart. She grimaced, knowing she was going to refuse. Or refuse. How on earth does someone have sex with someone who is made completely out of water anyway?
Easily.
Sonic fans have found
this new device available for just $19.95. Order now.
She suddenly
felt
something.
You have horny body parts?
Something tingle.
You need
tingle.
To inject water directly
something
into them?
Something tingle. Tingle, tingles, rosy, rupee land between her thighs.
Get the new tingles, rupee land, color, Technicolor dream coat available now at all fine as seen on TV stores.
And if you accept in the next 5 minutes, you'll also receive a promise that, should you want it again, I will be more than happy to oblige you. And if you don't want it again, I'll leave you in peace.
The liquidator, like, couldn't you just, like, stop it with a ShamWow?
No, you could stop it with a desiccant, like rice.
Or
yes,
the rice liquidator's arch enemy, rice!
I will wreck this girl so long as she doesn't have a small grain with her.
Alright,
talking about the size of her clits.
Roy, it's your turn.
Okay. What if I don't accept? Yes, Gosling, clenching her fists in an attempt to strap down her growing libido. Liquidator pulled on his left index finger with his right hand, gazing at Gosling intently. Her insides flip-flopped. Supposed to be. Then I cannot be responsible for my actions, he said coldly and smoothly. So, in other words, I either say yes or you'll rape me, snapped Gosling. It sounds like a win-win situation for you, you prick. This is a limited-time offer, he said, still tugging at his finger. I'll do it, she said, surprising herself. Liquidator's eyes grew large with shock for only a split second before he smiled in grim satisfaction. You won't regret it. I don't know what this is, but I'll keep going with it. Gosling gasped as he moved with, pardon the pun, liquid grace in and out of her, a grace that no, well, solid being could ever possess. How she had cried out with surprise when he had first entered her. How someone made of liquid could have an erection so hard, and she had had to stop herself from squealing with pleasure. She might have said yes to him.
Wait. So if the liquidator comes, does it count as heavy rain?
I bet he's into squirters.
If he's under a black light, does it count as purple rain? It is a sperm joke, yes.
She might have said yes to him, but she wasn't about to give him the satisfaction of becoming some panting, overcome by emotion sexual toy. She fought him even while giving in to him. What?
That makes sense. It doesn't make sense.
I understand what he's saying.
Hard to get.
She was being forced into having sex, whether she agreed or not. So she doesn't want to, but she knows she has to because of, either way.
But that was what the Liquidator liked best. She was tough, tougher than Darkwing even, from what he had observed. And while he wasn't entirely sure just what her relationship to Darkwing was, he had been with him since she was a child, so she certainly couldn't be his sexual plaything. It was obvious from her declarations about Darkwing's reaction should he ever find out that this would be something that Darkwing wouldn't be expecting to find out. The Liquidator laughed aloud as he imagined Darkwing's reaction when he revealed his sexual affair with his pretty little sidekick. "Can't you?" Goslin moaned aloud, "but stop yourself." The Liquidator stopped his movements again. Can't I what?" he said, sounding too out of breath for his voice to still be smooth and cunning, and yet it still was. "Don't stop," cried Goslin in anguish. "Keep going, and can't you make it harder?"
"Don't stop till you get enough.
Keep on. Well, you won't stop.
Welcome to the Muppet Show with our brand new guest, Goslin. Yay!
Yay! Okay. Whose turn is it to
dream? To
dream? To yes.
It's Blee's turn.
To die, perchance to dread. Therein lies the row.
The Liquidator grinned. Harder?
Yes, harder.
Harder? He asked in a teasing tone voice.
Do it.
Your dick! Cried Goslin. I'm made out of water, you whelp.
I want it.
But you can still get inside of me and hold me down. Don't play dumb with me, hissed Goslin. Can't you make it hard? Ooh!
That is the weirdest. Okay.
Yes.
The Liquidator was unable to fully bask in his glory of finally subduing the little firecracker into speechlessness, for as he had obliged her request, she had closed around him and enveloped his member entirely in the heat of her femininity. Femininity. And his own breaths finally became quavery as well. With animal instinct, he continued his thrusts in and out of her, but they grew faster and more urgent, and Goslin was unable to fight down her moans and gasps. With every noise she made, the Liquidator felt she was succumbing more and more to him. And he moved faster against her, relishing in his growing power, drawing most people under his charms and laughingly easy and irritating dull, but...
Irritatingly dull.
Easy and irritatingly dull, but this girl had always shown the potential to be a true challenge, but he had her, and...
Now he had her,
and that meant that now he could have anyone.
No, that's not how it works.
Oh, hey, remember that question that you guys asked a few minutes ago? We'll read this paragraph.
Oh.
they were now driven by such urgency, such ferocity, and such intensity that Goslin, still moaning so frequently that she didn't even notice that the Liquidator was too, knew that it was all come to a climax at any moment. And oh my god, how does a guy made out of liquid ejaculate anyway?
He just sends more of his stuff in that direction.
Well, he doesn't make it. He's made out of it.
He probably just changes it another color.
When it said, you know, envelops his member entirely in the heat of a femininity, I just imagine that his dick suddenly starts warming up, and suddenly it's boiling water and it gives her second degree burns.
Boy, just... why would you do that?
Because he can!
She shuddered, knowing the moment was soon, and the Liquidator, with one last groan, suddenly filled Goslin with warm, wet... Wait, was that ejaculation or something else? Or...
It was ejaculation.
Both. And suddenly, Goslin was soaking wet, drenched head to toe in what was unmistakably water. The Liquidator was nowhere to be seen. Shit! She muttered, wiping water out of her eyes. The water on her body, including her trails of sweat, rose up and formed the Liquidator, who looked a little ashamed of himself.
Sorry about that, baby. That doesn't happen all the time, he said.
David, you can take us home.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
Where are we at?
The last page. Jesus.
Yes, last. You only have the last page, and it's not even a full page.
Get to it! You are so bad at your show, Dave, you have no right to call me out on it after this.
I don't ever call you out anyway.
He never has the right to call you out, but he'll do it. I'll do it. Brad will do it. Everyone will do it.
Quite the finish. Your whole body ejaculated.
Sighed Ghostlin, taking advantage of finally being free of the Liquidator's grasp to roll off the bed and gather her cloths. The Liquidator sat on the bed, watching the tomboy getting dressed.
Get dressed.
He's getting dressed.
Huh.
Andros Lewis. He suddenly blurted out as Goslin was putting on her last article of clothing, her shoes.
You need to get better at positioning yourself next to your microphone.
He suddenly blurted out as Goslin was put on her last article of clothing, her shoes. But I don't know your name. Goslin, she said, before common sense could butt in and tell her not to tell her real name to the villain. Angry at herself for not thinking, she snapped, "What's yours? Or have you always just been Licky?"
I've never been Licky. Why would you call me that? Ew.
The Liquidator watched her for a moment or two. The silence was jarring. Bud.
I knew it was watered down.
Bud.
Nice. That's a good joke.
My name's Bud.
Oh, Goslin blinked. She never really asked her dad if Liquidator had ever been anything other than, well, liquid. But now her heart felt a pang with realization that there was just more to water and add jargon with Licky. So, Goslin.
She just learned his name.
Blah, 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 blah.
The Liquidator said. So, Goslin. The Liquidator said, his dark eyes flashing. I offered you a promise, and I stand by it. What will it be? Door number one, I promise to service you whenever you desire. Or door number two, I promise to never pursue you again. Goslin pushed open the door to the Liquidator's lair forcefully.
That's all. I'll have to think about it.
Finally spat out the Liquidator's The Liquidator smiled. Operators are standing by.
Operators are standing by!
Is he talking about it like his testicles?
Operators are standing by to take your cunt. I mean, call.
Operators are standing by. Meanwhile, my dick.
Meanwhile, standing by. On the sequel to the Phineas and Ferb's porno shoot, casting director Carl Breton Alewski tries to hit on girls that are less than a fourth her age.
Ah!
What? Don't joke about the Phineas and Ferb fix or I'll put another one on.
Oh, no. Thank you for joining us for Friday Night Fan Fiction. I'm very sorry to everybody who listened to this.
Tequila is next a hell week. Of a drug.
Hey, but don't worry.
My dog next is sorry,
week,
too.
We begin. Hey, next week we begin the long fic on what I swear is an entirely unrelated note. I'm probably not going to be here next week.
Dude. All right, well, we can actually reveal this right now. Our long fic this season is called Malho Shoujo Kaleido Amethyst, and it is a Harry Potter Fate Stay Night. Is that what it is? Fate Stay Night.
I don't know enough about either of these.
I've never watched Fate Stay Night. Is it good?
I haven't either.
I have a figure of Fate Stay Night, but that was only because it had boobs.
No, I thought Fate Stay Night was like a regular anime. Like,
I think it started as like an arrow game.
Really? Let's check that out real quick.
Who cares?
Let's do a little research real quick before we go.
I'm searching that right now. Fate Stay Night. I think it was an adult visual novel. Let's see.
Siri, what is Fate Stay Night?
Nope, it's just a Japanese visual novel. Wait a minute.
Siri works in countries outside of America now?
Okay. genre, eroge. Okay, it was an adult visual novel.
Eroge.
Or it had some.
Show some of them hot Fate Stay titties.
Oh, God. Okay, you know what? We're done. Thank you to everybody who joined us in the chat room.
What we call them pipples.
Thank you to everybody who's. Oh, I don't have anything to redeem this!
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.